When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Today we're going to be reviewing the industry pickup auction draft. We're going to walk through my draft, my picks, and the lessons you can take away from it. Let's go!
Jordan open, Chicago with the lead! Bryant to Shaq!
Not a game. We talking about practice.
LeBron James with no regard for human life!
Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang! Curry for three. Wow! Unbelievable. Making it rain in New York.
We the North are now we the champions.
Not the destination. It's the journey. Mamba out.
And oh, sorry. G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Casey. And you can find me on Twitter at Ball Boys Fantasy. And like we said at the top of the show, guys, we're going to be reviewing the auction draft that was the industry pickup league that just happened early this morning. Now, unfortunately, I couldn't do the draft show live, quote-unquote live, or do a voiceover or anything like that. It was starting at 5 o'clock in the morning at my time. And my partner, you know, out the podcast studio room here is situated fairly close to our bedroom. And so I wanted to still have a girlfriend after the show. So let her sleep in a bit while I did the draft. But I do want to go through the draft and talk about my strategy, talk about what went down. And I will be providing updates on this league throughout the season. Last year in the first season of the Industry Pickup League, and if you don't know what the Industry Pickup League is, it is the we're trying to make it, or the analysts across fantasy basketball, we're trying to make this like the biggest public league in fantasy basketball, and a league that kind of, for people to follow along to get a better idea of how analysts, you know, manage their fantasy basketball team, for people to sort of, maybe if they're a bit newer to the game, have something to sort of maybe go off, potentially, you know, make it a bit more. I think there's some baseball versions of this one, of this type of league. I think there's a football version as well. But basically, just have a very public league. There's a website you can go to check out all the transactions throughout the season, to follow along who's doing well, who's beating who, and who wins at the end of the day. So I think the Industry Pickup League is basically just industrypickup.com.au. Oh, sorry, not .com.au. It is just industrypickup.com, where you guys can check it out. But this one, last year, I came second. I lost to Rhett Bauer in the final. So I think I took down Josh Lloyd in the semis with a team centered around Giannis. And that was a snake draft. This year, I've opted to do the auction draft league. Now, this is only my second auction draft ever. I'm not a huge auction drafter. Like, I just, you know, haven't been able to get together the time. And obviously, living in Australia, when you're drafting against other people in international or in different countries, the timeline's a bit harder to match up, hence why I was drafting at 5 o'clock in the morning. But I wanted to challenge myself, and I like the ability to have different strategies and things like that, and I think you'll see how that turned out in this one here. So let's go into, we're just going to look at my team straight away. Here we go. So this is how the team looks. I am on the left-hand side here, the Ball Boys Big Boys, as was the team name last year. So we're going to continue that again. Basically, my strategy going into the draft, with auction drafts, I think it's a little bit different when you go into those compared to a snake draft. I went into the auction draft with a preconceived plan of I'm going to be looking to punt the points category. And having a plan around that. And the reason I went to punt the points category, if you haven't seen my punt points guide, please do check it out. But basically, I thought that the guys who score a lot of points would be going for more money, and the players who don't score much points will get more value. And I wanted to avoid a lot of the first round guys because I wanted a bit more of a balanced build. Now, there is a difference, however, because this league is a games cap format. which basically means you've got 10 starting players, you've got 4 games cap on each position in your starting roster. So for you can only play your point guard position 4 times in the week, your guard position 4 times, so on and so forth. So you can only play 40 games in the week. I like that format, actually. It sort of evens the playing field out a little bit. So I wanted to reserve myself at least 3 players that were $1 players at the end of the draft, and have my 10 starters and then potentially one more at the end that was a little bit more in case of injuries and things like that. And that was even more emphasized when I get into some of these players that I'm talking about before, especially someone like a Paul George. So I came into the draft looking for, you know, 10 to 11 guys that'll fit the points build. And I had some sort of targets in this draft that I was going to look at. So the first player that I got was Chet Holmgren, and he was one of the guys that I really did wanted to target. I loved getting his blocks, but I also, the main thing for Chet is obviously Hartenstein's out early, but the thing is for him is he is someone who is going to shoot free throws, hit threes, and get blocks all at the same time. And that is a rare combination to get. The only other real guys that do that are like Jaren Jackson Jr., Brook Lopez, who's a million years old, Miles Turner to a lesser degree, and I think Chet's better than all of those players. So a lot of the times when I've been doing punt points builds, I've been finding that you end up getting a lot of those big guys at the end of the draft that really drain your free throw percentage. So I wanted to look after that. So getting Chet onto my team was a bit of a target of mine. So I got him for $34. I don't necessarily think it's a massive bargain. He was the 15th player off the board, so I didn't bid. Well, I bid on them, but I didn't get any of the first 14 players nominated. But Chet was the first guy I got. I quickly then followed up with about 10 picks later, so a little bit of time on the shelf. Steph Curry was my next player that I got, which I didn't go into the draft targeting him. Obviously, not typically what you'd associate a punt points team to build around. However, I think I got a bloody good bargain with him at $36. He was my most expensive player. If we look at some players that went around that sort of a price, so for example, Domantas Sabonis went for $36. Other players in the first round, like Giannis, went for $50. Who else? So Scotty Barnes went for $34, so $2 more to get Steph Curry over Scotty Barnes. I'm pretty happy with that. Who else went around that sort of a price? So like a Luka Doncic, who was the first player picked, and I love that it was Josh Lloyd because I know he loves a balanced build. So as soon as I saw him get Luka Doncic as the first player nominated, I was pretty happy about that because that's not his typical strategy. Let me find some other players. So Joel Embiid went for $35, which I thought was pretty interesting. Donovan Mitchell, $37. So I got Steph Curry cheaper than a Donovan Mitchell, which I'm pretty happy about. Anthony Davis, $52. Tyrese Halliburton, $46. So I got, again, $10 cheaper. So I think compared to a lot of other first-round players, I was pretty happy to get a Steph Curry. And I know I'm punting points, but one of the weaknesses of a punting the points category is your threes tend to often be quite poor and your free throw percentage tends to be quite poor. And Steph Curry is obviously going to be massive in both of those categories. And I think his assists are going to rise this year with obviously no Chris Paul. So I didn't break the bank, got a first round player. I was pretty happy with that. I think it's probably one of my better bargains of the draft. The next guy I got was Derek White, a sort of a guy I had in mind to target as a guy to get me some good defensive stats, hit me some threes, not turn the ball over a whole lot. Just a very solid punt points type of a build. I probably paid as much as I wanted to. I think if someone bid 23, I'd let him go, which, again, it's okay. I think in an auction draft, a lot of times you can get tied down to the fact of, I've got to get value with every single pick. And especially in a draft like this, where you've got 11 other analysts who obviously are switched on, know what they're doing, it's just unrealistic to expect yourself to do that. So I still think you've got to pick the players, and the build is still very, very important to me. I think that's the main thing for me. So I wanted to get guys that I thought fit, players that I thought I needed. And so by getting a Derek White here, it meant that I, you know, getting nearly a block per game from your point guard, it sort of relieved the pressure of absolutely having to pay top dollar for any bigs that maybe go, because I didn't know exactly at that point how much the shot blocking bigs were going to get valued. The next guy I got, which again, I've got him in a lot of leagues, Paul George at $23. If he wasn't injured, I had him as like a $37 player. So he was very high up in my priority list. At $23, again, the back-to-back thing doesn't concern me as much in this league because, again, it is that roto type games cap formula. It's not a roto scoring, but you have that the playing games cap on this this league. So if he sits it back to back, I'm not losing a games played. I'm losing a games played of Paul George's production, but not in total. So I think that filters into it a little bit more. So I think at 23, it's something I can withstand. I think at this point, I'm hoping that he's only going to miss a week or two, and I'm pretty happy with that. If he misses more, maybe it's a bit more than I wanted to spend. And by getting a Paul George, this kind of set me into the spot where, okay, I wanted my first player on the bench to still be someone that I'm happy to put out there. I don't want it to be a $1 player as my sort of 11th guy, because I wanted that other player to replace him to be still someone I'm pretty confident in. So instead of going for four $1 players, which was something I sort of factored into my pricing, going with Paul George made me kind of switch over to that three $1 pricing sort of range, and having maybe 11 guys that I've kind of spent up a little bit on. So that, from a strategy point of view, was a little bit of a shift in the players that I targeted. One of my guys, again, Chet Holmgren and Mobley, these two were basically the guys that I was pretty keen on targeting in this draft. I got him for 31. I probably paid a little bit more than maybe some people would value him at. At 31, I'm still actually okay with it. I've been very impressed with what he's done in the preseason. I think he's going to be passing a lot more, potentially scoring a bit more, which in this build, I don't care too much about, but the field goal percentage, if he does score more, I think will be very good. So I've got three players in $30 range and two players in $20. So one, two, three, four, five players that I could realistically see as top 40 guys. And in my build, I think I've got five players who are potentially top 30, top 25 guys, because of the fact that I am punting the points category. So I was pretty happy with the start. It's from this point here. So that was at the bid at 44. So at this point here, I kind of slowed down a little bit. And this is, again, something that I sort of wanted to do. I wanted to get a lot of guys, five or six players within the first sort of 40 to 45 picks, sort of really between 15, like in a normal snake draft, between picks 15 and picks 45, you know, five or six guys in that type of a range. Because normally from about pick 50 to pick 80, 85, there's a lot of players I don't like. There's a lot of guys in there that are, you know, boosted because of their scoring, or they've got injury risks and things like that. And you can kind of see that that's what shaped out in my draft. Because after these sort of five players went, I just had a lot of guys that were around the sort of 11, 8, 7, 5, 10, $9 kind of a range, which from a planning point of view, I was pretty happy with, to be honest. So the next guy I got was a Herb Jones. It was at this point here that I really started to notice, and this is, again, the gamesmanship of the league, I really started to notice some really hard punts in the league here. So especially I noticed what Kingy was doing. So I was keeping on a few other teams and what they were doing. So Kingy was starting to go with a very interesting strategy, and I've seen this done before. He loaded up on big guys. So you got Anthony Davis, you got Zach Edey, Rudy Gobert, Mark Williams, Derek Lively, Walker Kessler. It's a lot of bigs. But then he started going really, really hard on some steals guys. So players like Jalen Williams, Amen Thompson, OG Anunoby, Alex Caruso. And he got a lot of those guys. So I started to notice that he was doing that. So I started to place a bit of a higher priority on getting those steals in, because in my build, it is going to be fairly important. I think that's the area of the draft that I could, because he's going to go hard in five categories. I'm not going to beat him in rebounds. I'm not going to beat him field goal percentage. I'm probably not going to beat him in blocks. Turnovers and steals are probably my most likely areas that I'm going to beat a team like his in head-to-head leagues. So Herb Jones, $11. I was happy to pay for that a little bit more. Got the small forward that was able to cover off a Paul George for when he goes out. And again, his, you know, low scoring doesn't really affect me here. Then I went on a bit of a run with some big guys. So Zubas for $8. I was pretty happy to get there. At this point here, I was starting to get a little bit concerned with my assists. So Zubas, it kind of, and Herb Jones sort of back-to-back put me in a little bit of a hole with when it comes to assists. So I had a few targets that I was trying to get to later. I was trying to get Chris Paul. Unfortunately, didn't manage to land him. So the assist category was maybe not as strong as I wanted it to be, but it's okay. Zubac, I really like the value of it getting... Sorry, Nurkic, I really like the value of it getting at $7 because I think he can be a strong assist player. The concern with him is he doesn't shoot a lot of threes and he his free throw percentage is really, really bad. But I think because of like the players I've gotten earlier in terms of a Steph Curry, a Paul George... you know, even like a Derek White and a Chet, who's a solid free throw percentage shooter for his position, I think it'll be okay. But if he has a night where he goes to the line a lot, it could hurt me. But obviously, $7 for a starting center who can give me sort of 3 or 4 assists per game as well. Really good rebounder for his team. I think is pretty solid. Draymond Green, I think, might be the steal of the draft for me. In my team, $5 for him. Was massive. I think getting him at $5 really allowed me to get these last few players on my team at the price that I did. If I had to pay more for him, then I wouldn't have been able to afford your Drew Holidays and Suggs, which were very late nomination guys and sort of the best guys left on the board. So of all the picks in this draft, I think Draymond at $5 was probably my best. Again, I was getting a little bit concerned about the assists. The steals were probably the two things that I needed the most at this point. I was pretty happy with my blocks, my rebounds, and my field goal percentage. I was pretty fine with. So getting Draymond here just boosted those categories further. And I think, obviously, I've got the double up with Draymond and Steph Curry with no Chris Paul there. All those assists, I think, will more than likely funnel to those two players. So I'm hoping he can not get himself suspended every second week and he can be really, really, really good for me. So again, punt points, darling. Draymond Green, potentially a top 60 player in that build for $5 is pretty big. So it was at this point here where 118, 119, 122, 126, I was sort of at this point left as one of the teams with the most amount of money. I sort of took a little bit of a break after the Evan Mobley sort of level. And the draft kind of unfolded, and you can go and check out Josh Lloyd's Locked On Fantasy Basketball. He's got the entire draft on there. And if you watch along that draft, there was a section where I think people were really hanging on to their money early in the draft. Like, for example, Victor Wembanyama went for 67. He sometimes goes for 70.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
$80. I think I've even seen him go for $90 in one auction. And he also got Jokic for $68. Both of these normally go for at least $75 in each draft. So the top guys weren't going for as much as you probably typically would see. But what I did think seemed to happen is a lot of those mid-round guys, because there was more money left over, went for a little bit more. So that's where I was kind of hanging back a little bit more at that point. But then I started to get really active in this part of the draft because, again, I sort of had let go to the point where I had the most amount of money, which I was pretty happy getting Drew Holiday there. Again, I needed my assists. His steals did drop last year. His points dropped a lot, which was a big reason why his value dropped a fair bit. But obviously, in my team, I don't care too much about that. And you've kind of got, again, in the games cap format, you've got the ability to, so if Derek White goes down, his value is elevated and I can just pop one of those other guys into it. So a little bit of handcuffing, I guess you could say there. He was definitely at the point that I drafted him at 122. He was the best guy on the board available. So was sort of happy to spend up there. Jalen Suggs, I think I was very lucky to get. Again, I was kind of watching Kingy's team and his steals. He had, I think at the time, an $11 max bid. I had a $10 max bid. And he had two players left. I think I still had four. So I went to $9, hoping to keep that extra dollar left in the tank. And I thought for any money that Kingy was going to outbid me, but he didn't. So I think, again, getting Jalen Suggs there was a bit lucky, but in terms of the assists and steals that I was lacking, I was very happy to get him there. And then the end of the draft, again, like I said, so he's like my first bench player, but with the Paul George thing, he'll likely go straight into my IR with Suggs going into the starting lineup. Then I just wanted some $2, $1 players. Mike Conley was the guy there. Again, just wanted to shore up a bit of the assists. Someone a bit more solid. If I need him at certain times, it's going to be great. When he rests, it won't matter. He's just going to sit on my bench. So again, happy to take a punt there. And then De'Anthony Melton, Stephen Castle. De'Anthony Melton was just really a steals upside. Again, if anyone's injured, he's going to elevate. It's sort of a handcuff to Steph Curry, but again, very much a steals-specific type player when I go into some of those heavy punt build teams that that I come up against. And then Stephen Castle, 158. There wasn't too much left on the board that I was really in love with. Just wanted someone that I could maybe stash, see how it goes. I've been a fan of him since the start, or since before the draft. He's looked pretty good in the preseason, and I'm just going to have a look and see how he goes while Devin Vassell is out to start the year. So just sort of a flyer. It'll more likely than not become a bit of a streaming position. But again, in this league, you can stash players around a little bit. So let's pick over to... So this is how sort of the draft went. Like I said, open the board up. I was the first person to nominate with Luka Doncic. He went for 54. Some other interesting picks that I thought... Kawhi Leonard went for $14. So yeah, very, very interesting. I didn't know what to do with him. I sort of just left him alone, but it could be a great pick. It might, I don't know. I just didn't know how people were going to value him. $14. I don't know. I think it's not too bad, to be honest, but yeah, obviously a lot of uncertainty there. A lot of the early round guys, Shea going for more than Luka was interesting. He went $5 more than Luka. Like I said, I was pretty happy to see Josh get stuck with Luka. I don't think he necessarily wanted him. So that was great to see. Anthony Davis, 52. That's fine. I do want to note that I think Alex Burns started with the Giannis team and then he went to Jason Tatum. I got a tweet from him saying that I'm pretty sure he was trying to price enforce there, but got stuck with a Jason Tatum, which you don't normally typically see that as a pairing. Obviously, the punt free throws is the way to go with the Giannis, so Tatum doesn't normally fit that build. I don't think it's horrible, but again, going two first-round players, spending $92 on two players in an auction draft does hamstring you a little bit, although it's a little bit more doable in this... games cap format. And then he follows it up again with Sabonis. So he's gone Sabonis, he's gone Jason Tatum, and he's gone Giannis. And I believe that Alex was the last player left in the draft bidding on himself, or against himself, I should say. So he went really hard really early, as did Angle with back-to-back selections of Wemby and Jokic. Although, the pricing for those two players is not bad. It's definitely lower than you see. I still wouldn't do it. Obviously, I didn't do it because it just puts you in a tough position. But I don't mind how Angle went about it in this draft, because, like I said, you'd normally see those guys go a bit more expensive. Zach Edey was an interesting early selection. Kingy spending the $9 on him. Like I said, I had Nurkic for $7, Draymond for $5, Drew Holiday for $10, Suggs for $9. So I think in hindsight, this one's a big overspend. I probably wouldn't spend more than $2 on him. So it's always interesting how you throw a really back-end guy in with the more expensive guys when everyone's still got a bit of money, that people get a bit excited and go for some of those guys. So that was a good nomination by whoever did that. Who are some other interesting ones here? Yeah, like I said, I was very happy to get Steph Curry there for 36. I think Cam Thomas at $12, despite me not being a Cam Thomas fan, is solid. So I think, yeah, Karan got this one here after he got Karl-Anthony Towns. So if it does work out, that could be a pretty big steal. Otherwise, all pretty straightforward. We talked about the Paul George one. Larry Markkanen went for $29. I think I'd rather Paul George than Larry Markkanen. Both have risks. $6 saved. What else happened here? Evan Mobley, 31. Cade Cunningham, 31. Oh, this was one of the funniest parts of the draft. Josh Lloyd nominated Dalton Connect. I don't know if he was trying to bait some people in or go off the hype. He expected some people to be, you know, buying the hype a little bit more. Nominate him for $1 and then got him for $1, which I thought was hilarious because I know he's been like the guy pushing back against the Dalton Connect hype, and I think rightfully so. Like once the regular season starts and LeBron and D'Angelo Russell and Alex Caruso, Anthony Davis, they're all going to get his shots, and Kinect's just not going to do much. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him on a waiver wire very quickly. So I thought that was pretty funny. What else happened? I think that's decent value on Fred VanVleet there by Fantasy Trash Talk. The other thing in this league here, and let's go over to Basketball Monster and have a look at this. There was some very, very heavy punting teams. Let's look at the analysis monster just to kind of... I'm logged in, guys. I'm logged in. Oh, I've got to sign in. Got to sign in. There we go. It remembers me. All right, let's go into the analysis monster because I just want to show you this and illustrate this with... Where was it? The draft tracker, I think, had a better visual on the reds and greens in this league in terms of just how hard some people... Yeah, look at this. So, for example, look at Kingy's team. He's gone hard punt points, hard punt threes, hard punt assists, hard punt free throw percentage, but he's very strong, leading the league by far in rebounds, leading the league by far in blocks, like 13.72 standard scores in blocks. Absolutely overkill, in my opinion. Like, I'm the next strongest at 3.67. I think it's overkill. You know, 12 on the field goal percentage. Again, overkill in my mind. He's averaging 51% from the field. You know, very few turnovers, although that's a little bit closer with some of the other guys. The steals one, and this is what I was sort of watching. So he still looks like he gets me, but if I, you know, 1.087 to 1.06, like that could flip any day, right? And depending on which players he wants to play and which players I want to play with that games cap, you've got a bit of, you can select certain guys. So I might go into a bit more of a, you know, bench some of my, you know, like a, someone like a Zubac and maybe put out a D'Anthony Melton because there's no way Zubac is helping me in this matchup. He's just not going to get me anywhere close to this. So those are the kind of games that you can play. So I wanted to be within the ballpark to overtake him and something like that. But there's a lot of other teams. So for example, I was punting points, beat a few other teams. So I beat Kingy in scoring, and I'm close to Angle, and I'm close to Alex Burns. So could be still competitive in that sort of a standpoint. And if Steph Curry goes off, we could definitely see that happening. But you know, we've got a hard assist punt here. We've got a very hard points and threes punt from Angle here, who was the Jokic and Wemby team. Alex Burns went for a hard punt in several categories as well. Like, similar kind of thing to what Kingy did, except the steals as well. He opted to go for some more assists instead. Joel went for extremely... Someone went for extremely hard guards punt. Who was it? I can't remember, was it? Yeah, this team here. So Josh and Evan from points made, rebounds, blocks, field goal percentage, turnovers, went really strong in the guard categories, massive scoring. He's going to be at the top there. The assists were big. The free throw percentage was big. So it was just a very interesting draft in terms of, obviously people were valuing players at different levels. And I don't think I see many drafts this red and this green on this Basketball Monster track. And again, a lot of this is, you know, it's based on projections, and we don't know exactly if they're going to be right. But it does give you a very, very clear idea on what these people are chasing, what they're looking for. And so, yeah, it was just interesting noticing that as the draft kind of went on. Now, the projections in this one have me finish around third. The other one had me first. So we don't put too much stock into that. But what I do put stock into is obviously the shape of everyone's team and noticing where people are strong and where people are weaker. So, yeah, thought that was very fascinating. So back on over to the draft. So I think that when you look at these prices, and every auction draft is like it's like a snowflake, right? They're all very individual. As soon as one player goes more than they should or less than they should, the value then changes for other players in that position that give you a similar stat set, the categories that become more unique, which order they come off the draft determines all these sort of things. So please keep that in mind when you're looking at these prices and thinking, that's bloody crazy, or that's a steal, or that's, you overpaid there. There's a lot of that mentality and that psychology involved in it as well. What are some other big ones? Franz Wagner for 24, I thought was pretty high, to be honest. For example, I got Paul George for 23. I know he's got the injury, so I mean, maybe some people. That's actually not too bad. Probably not too bad. I'm a bit harsh there. Kristaps Porzingis going for $7. Obviously, per game, he's going to be worth that and more. And again, in a league where you can stash a little bit more, probably more viable. So this is where you could start to see. Let's go to where I started taking a lot of these players. So there's where Zubac went. So you can sort of see, like, we get down to the 99th pick, and I haven't picked for a long time here, not since Herb Jones there. So this is at the point where I sort of had a lot more money left on the board. Got the Zubac, and then, yeah, sort of made my move even more so down at 118 where Nurkic, Draymond, Drew Holiday. So Drew Holiday was there, the next best player. So I think he was the last $10 player. Yeah, he was the last double-digit player left on the board. So clearly the best guy left. So I was happy to lock him up there. Suggs at 9. No one else really went close to that. Chris Paul went for 7. DiVincenzo went for 7, which I don't think I would do. Obviously, I didn't. So from a standpoint of I'm happy I saved my money a little bit there and was able to sort of bully some of these guys that had less money on the board at that point. And again, that Draymond being $5 was that made that possible. So if I'm going to label an MVP or my best pick, I think it is Draymond. If I'm going to say my worst pick, I don't love the Zubac pick just because of the hole it put me in with assists and steals. I think I came out of it okay, but I didn't love that selection. Like you could say that I overspent a little bit on Mobley. Maybe I overspent a little bit on Chet, but again, it's a few dollars here and there potentially, and I wanted to get the guys that I thought would set up the rest of my drafts for a really strong finish, and I think I did that. So, yeah, all in all, I actually am pretty happy with how the draft went. I did have a draft, my first auction draft, I thought went horribly afterwards. I sort of feeling a bit sick, and I was like, what the hell did I just do? To give myself some fairness, in that draft, we started with 12 players. Last minute, we added two other people into the draft like 5 minutes before and made it a 14-team league. And so all of my preparation and practice and valuations just got thrown out the window. And one person didn't arrive for like an hour into the draft, so I wasn't sure if they were going to rock up, and then they did, and then they had all the money in the world, so it was a very weird draft. So I feel much better about this draft than I did that last one. And despite not having too much experience in auction drafts, I think it went okay. So I'll definitely be updating this one here, maybe not in a podcast every week, but maybe every couple of weeks. I'll definitely be tweeting about it weekly. So if you guys are interested on how I go against a lot of other good fantasy basketball analysts, so just to give them a quick plug and then we'll wrap up the show. Roto Kyle is in this one from Basketball Monster, Alex Burns Hoops, Josh and Evans from Point Made, dual manager, managerial duties in this one here. Josh Lloyd, which I'm sure you all know from Locked On Fantasy Basketball and Basketball Monster. Angel, which is, Angle, Fantasy Basketball. He is in there. He had the Jokic-Wemby team. Very interested to see how this team goes. Fingers crossed for him that they can stay healthy. Kingy from Fantasy Basketball International and the Old Man League. Fantasy Trash Talk. This was the team that went really, really hard on the big man punt. I think they're going to be a tough team to defeat. Hopefully I can get them in the steals department. So I think he's a very, very solid contender, went in with a clear strategy. Willie from ETR established the run, just had a blank there, so he was in there as well. Joel from RotoWire, Sam and Liam from Points Made as well, and then Karan, who's been on this show as well, who is a past Locked On Fantasy Basketball winner overall. So he obviously has a very good knowledge of fantasy basketball as well. So very, very tough competition today, guys. Hopefully I can go one better to last season and take it out and bring home the championship to the ball boys, big boys. That's going to be it for the preseason content, guys. Hope you enjoyed all the shows and it helped you out in your drafts. And I hope your drafts went well, whether it was this weekend or earlier. And stay tuned for some more podcasting content throughout the season. More than likely going to be once a week unless something does pop up, like trades and things like that, which I'll cover as soon as I can get around to it. But good luck at the start of the season. Let's get keen to watch some basketball. Bye.
you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.